for the Word of God that, listen, men have literally died. So today, we could open this up. Did you know that? I mean, literally. Men like John Wycliffe, who really felt passionately that the everyday man needs to get a copy of the Word of God to read. He didn't know Christianity was controlled by the church. There was the Catholic Church, and it was only the Catholic Church. It was controlled by the church. Everybody was Catholic. And the priest had the Word. And men like John Wycliffe said, you know, it should be translated so we could read it. Well, that hacked off the people of the day. Why? Because they wanted to be in control. So John Wycliffe was actually burned at the stake because he copied the Bible into the modern language. Years later, William Tyndale, same thing. William Tyndale was burned at the stake because he copied the Bible into modern language, which my Bible is actually, we use the New Living, and it's actually owned by a company named after him, Tyndale. That's where that name comes from William Tyndale. In fact, it said that William Tyndale was still praising God as he was tied and burning. So they had to put something around his neck to keep him from praising God. They had to choke him. Not to be too graphic today, but he was still praising God. People have endured a lot for us to get the Word today because it has something special in there. Listen, it's life-changing, isn't it? Don't we believe that? Thank God for the men and women who have laid down their lives so we can have a copy. It wasn't too long ago that in the town, the whole town, there would be like one copy of the Bible. And you could save up, you would have to save up your salary to go see the Bible. It would cost you like a year's wages to be able to spend a day with the Bible. You would have to save for a long time. And you would get to go and read it for a day. Then the man would close it and take it back. Because it was all handwritten, you understand. Very expensive. We didn't have photocopy machines and printing presses. And people still would do that and go home. And their children would say, what did you see in the Bible today, Dad? Tell me. We have multiple copies. Some of us have copies in our car, right? We have four or five. We have our favorite Bibles. We have the ones we don't like so much or we don't read as much. And, you know, we have Bibles all over the place. Let's be thankful for the Word of God. Let's take advantage of this Word that so many people gave their lives for. You know what? To be honest with you, I can't wait till I get to heaven. And I want to hug John Wycliffe. I want to shake the hand of William Tyndale. And they weren't the only ones. Listen, there were thousands of people who died for their faith over the years. And even still today in many countries are still living for Jesus in spite of persecution. That's going to be a good day to be reunited with them, isn't it?
Amen.
So I want to see Jesus. The apostles would be great. Peter, Paul. And I think of the other great men and women who have passed the Bible along. Thank God for that. Today we're going to open up to a special passage of Scripture. You can turn in your Bibles. That would be great. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. If you don't have a Bible, I would love to be able to hand any one that we have that's loose and floating around. Colossians is near the back of the book. If you get to Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians is the fourth book together. It's after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. It's after them. Colossians chapter 3. Do you have a page number, Michelle? 903 if you have one of our Bibles. 903 if you have one of the blue paper Bibles floating around. We're going to get into the Word of God today. It's Thanksgiving, but if it's okay with you, we're still going to preach. Is that all right? We still It's just what God's called me to do. I'm going to preach. We're going to preach. And Lord willing, listen, we're not just going to preach, but we're going to leave here differently. And I hope, to be honest with you, we're more like Jesus when we leave here. And even this Thanksgiving, we will have the mind and heart of Christ as we celebrate and as we give thanks. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Colossians 3, verse 16. Here we go. Lord, help us as we get into Your Word. Apply it to our lives. Be with us. Give us Your Spirit so we can even understand what we're talking about, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 3, 16. It says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. We're going to pull apart these two verses, and I pray that it's applicable and that we are changed in the process. What's the first word? Colossians 3:16. What's the first word? Let. This is an important word, isn't it? Let is an important word. If you're just visiting, you're thinking, man, this is going to go slow if we're pulling one word at a time. Let. We just did the series Mind Shift a couple of weeks ago. And if you remember with that series, we talked about how God wants to transform us. And Romans 12:2 in there said, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think, right? And we said, let God. What does that mean? It means God wants to change us. And we need to let Him do that. You see, when you become a Christian, you ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you. The Bible says explicitly that He makes us a new person. He gives us a new nature. The old nature is gone. The new has come. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you realize that even after we've received Christ, that doesn't mean we always do the right thing, does it? Because Paul says we have within us a sinful nature, but we also take on the nature of Christ when we receive Him. The Holy Spirit lives within us. So we have this dueling battle. It's been illustrated in cartoons for years with a good angel and the bad angel, you know? But the Holy Spirit is within us, and He really desires us to do good. He gives us the desires to be a good Christian, to read the Bible, to love God, to worship God, to talk to God, to be a good husband, to be a good father. He starts to give us and plants the seeds in our heart of all the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. As Galatians 5:22 and 23 tells us, God plants those seeds within our heart. Here's the deal. They're planted in our heart, but as we spend time with God, just like any other garden, you know, you have to do something with it to help it to grow and be productive, right? Anybody? True, right? If not, you end up with these tiny little ears of corn that we had in our garden outside. But Bill, they were good. If you remember last year, we had our children's garden and we had ears of corn this big.
Children's size.
Right. But I'll tell you, that was the sweetest corn I've ever had because it had the taste of the big one and the little one. It was potent. It was potent, compact. It was like when you're a kid and you drink the Kool-Aid right from the packet. Like that, right? It was good. Anyway, God plants the seeds in our heart for us to have love, right? You cannot love apart from Jesus Christ changing you. To be honest with you, you don't know what love is because God is love. You could think you know, but you don't really know. You usually love yourself. You don't have self-sacrificing love. That comes from the self-sacrificing Savior, doesn't it? We open up with the word let, and here's the deal. That means let go and let God. Trust God to work in your life. If you've asked Him to forgive you, God wants to work in you, and we need to just let it go. We need to surrender. If you don't hear anything else all day, we need to surrender and be real with God. And stop hanging on and fighting God. We need to work with God. Amen? Amen. He gives us the new nature. We need to let Him work with us. All right, let's look at the second word. No, I'm kidding. The, what is... We're not going to go that slow. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Let it. Allow it to. What's the message? Some translations will say, let the Word of Christ. What are we talking about? Colossians is cool because we're going to flip back to the previous chapter. Look at 2 verse 13. You know, maybe the page right in front of where you're at. Colossians 2:13. Don't flip too far. We're coming back to chapter 3. Look at 2 verse 13 through 15. And at this, I'm going to give you the heads up, okay? As we read this, I want somebody to be excited when we get done, okay? So when we get done, I feel a hallelujah or a praise the Lord, which hallelujah actually means praise the Lord. I want something when we get done. Can we get a little excited? Because this, if you're not excited after this verse, man, we're calling 911 because you need a jump start or something, okay? Colossians 2, verse 13 through 15. It says this, you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for He forgave what? All our sins. Oh, this is good. Verse 14, He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by His victory over them on the cross. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That Jesus, it says that He disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. Man, this is good. I'm not even preaching on this verse, but it's good. It means that the devil doesn't have a stronghold in your life anymore if you've received Jesus. If you haven't, and you've been playing around in church, listen, the devil owns you. He owns you. When we receive Jesus, Jesus comes in, punches the devil in his mouth, and takes the ownership papers to our heart and to our soul. It says that He took the record of charges against us. The devil owns us because he can pull out a list and say, this is what so-and-so has done wrong. I'll use myself for an example. He could say, this is what Jim Bradford has done wrong. He belongs to me. Look at all of his sins. And what Jesus does is He says, I got this. He asked me to forgive him. Boom! I love that part. Takes the list of stuff against me and it says He nailed it on the cross. It said He's completely forgiven. Hallelujah! Isn't that a good word picture? I'm a word picture guy. I love that. I love that. Thank you, Jesus, that He disarmed the spiritual rulers in my life. Let the message about Christ get in you. That's what He's saying in chapter 3. That's the message. Let it get in you. One more part of a verse. Look at Colossians 2, verse 20. Just scoot down a little bit. And in this chapter, here's another part of a sentence that I think will speak to us about what this message of Jesus is. It says, you have died with Christ, and He has what? Set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. Hallelujah! Do you see that today? So that is what Paul is talking about in our text for today. 3:16 says, let this message about Christ, that and more, in all of its richness, fill your lives. Let it fill your life. Don't you want to be spiritually rich? Anybody? Don't you want to have depth within your walk with God? Anybody? Because you understand, another place in Scripture, Paul says, I pray that your understanding of the love of Christ would grow so much that you could even begin to understand how deep and how wide and how long the love of God is. He says, I pray that your depth would grow, in another place in Scripture. Listen, we should be hungry for God, but I want a God who... I want to experience God. Anybody else? For real? Because if God's not real, fishing's good. Right? Why are we here if God's not real? Why do we give to the Lord financially if He's not real? Why do we serve? But here's the deal. He is so real. And I've tasted the Lord. I've tasted His presence. I've felt God. And that has just made me hungrier for more of God. Right? I want to grow in depth. I want the message and truth of God to take me to the point where I even know Him more. That I'm even deeper with Him in His presence. Anybody else? Is it just me or what? Because I don't have time to play religion. Yeah. Religion, I don't know, play soccer, play religion, play football. I'd rather play football. I don't have time to play games. I want God. I want Jesus. I don't want a counterfeit thing. And here's the deal. Here's what our church is built upon. Of course, Jesus. But the verse is, if anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, what, like a person who builds their house on solid rock. In that passage from Matthew 7:24, Jesus talks about storms in life coming. And there's two different dudes. There's one guy who works hard, who builds his life on rock. The other guy pops up his tent basically on the beach sand. Same storm comes. The one who's built upon the rock or the words of Christ survives. The other guy is gone. In truth, we live in a fallen and broken world. How many know that? Okay? How many know that when you become a Christian, everything's great? Not true. We don't preach that here. We preach that the storms of life come. Jesus said the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Problems will come. Here's the deal. I want my life built upon Jesus because I want to survive. And not just on a surface level, I want to get deep into Christ. You need to get deep into Christ. When the bad times come, and it's the middle of a hurricane, it's a little bit too late to begin pouring the foundation for your home, isn't it? It's a little too late. You need to be deep in Jesus. Listen, you will have good times. We pray for good times. But if the Lord should wait on His return, or He doesn't kill you in a half hour and take you home, something's probably going to go wrong at some point. I hope it doesn't. But I want you to be built on Christ. And I want this message of Christ to be in you, and you to be in it, and in Jesus, deep in the fullness of Him. And when you do that, I know for a fact that you will be successful. Successful meaning you will survive the storm and come out on the other side. Let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Christ wants to fill your life. Too many people are living their lives by the message of other people in Hollywood. They let MTV determine their morals and values. They'll let The Simpsons or... I can't even repeat what I saw when I was at the laundromat the other day. They had a TV on and they had Family Guy. I don't watch the show. I don't watch South Park, Simpsons. To be honest with you, I don't watch a lot. Okay? I'm not even going to repeat to you the filth that was on the TV that I couldn't change. And my daughter was in there with me. And this was at like 6 o'clock at night. Kids are up. Dinner time. And it's fine. I won't even, let's just say directly out of like Genesis with Sodom and Gomorrah. Like, it was bad, okay? We don't live by those standards. It's okay to turn the TV off. To be honest with you, if you're dwelling in Christ richly, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you this isn't okay. And you're going to turn it off. Too many people live their lives by other people, even like Oprah. Oprah's nice, right? We like Oprah. I don't watch Oprah. I have video clips on my website, on our church website. If you want to check it out, go to audio messages. And down there, I showed a clip in church. It's on the somewhere on the page. And you'll see a list for Oprah clips from YouTube. Talking about Jesus. She denies Jesus. But here's a great quote she said. And I'm saying this because she just announced that she's going to stop doing her show. Anybody ever hear that? It's a big thing. Yeah. She's not really going to stop, okay? She's going to stop, but she is the richest woman, like, ever. And they're talking about her buying her own TV station. So you'll be getting, like, Oprah TV or something. So it's not really going to stop. It's just going to change. And she'll be on 24/7, 365. Or Dr. Phil or something. But anyway, here's a quote that she said. I thought this quote was fascinating. She says this to her audience. You have enriched my life beyond my expectations. I guess so. She's rich. You have enriched my life beyond expectations. Yeah, I guess so. If she's not the richest woman, self-made woman, probably. But if not, she's definitely the most influential. Okay, she rejects Jesus as God. She rejects the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus. She says the Bible is just an old book, old religious book. She encourages her women on the show and stuff to open themselves up to the spiritual realm. If you don't know, spirituality, apart from the Word of God, is just a synonym for demonic stuff. Okay, spiritual realm, let's just hum and meditate. That's demonic. I feel a spirit trying to talk to me. Well, yeah, they made The Exorcist, right, in the 70s. This stuff is real. Don't mess around with the demonic realm. Yeah, you can hear things and be communicated to. I have no problem believing that. I just don't want anything to do with that whatsoever. I'm not here to bash Oprah. I just thought it was interesting. I like that quote, you've made me rich. Oh, I mean, you've enriched my life. I thought that was great. But here's the deal. Be careful who is speaking into your life, right? Make sure it's the Bible. Make sure it's from God's Word. Be real with God. And here's where I think some of us are, to be honest with you. And if this is you, you're going to know and God's going to speak to you. And I pray that you surrender to Him. But for some of us, to be honest with you, I think we're at the place of half-hearted surrender. Half-hearted surrender. If you're on a battlefield and you're fighting your enemy, and if they kind of give up, are you going to put down your gun? And go give them a hug? How do you kind of surrender, right? I kind of give up, kind of don't, but you know. But I kind of do. It doesn't work in real life. But how come so many of us do that to Jesus? We come to Jesus and we half-heartedly surrender to Him. We give Him a little bit. And some of us act like Jesus isn't God, like Jesus doesn't know everything. So we can fool Him into thinking it's a full surrender when we know it's not. Jesus knows more than you. Jesus knew you were going to do it even before He did it. He's God. Half-hearted surrender is no surrender at all. Half-heartedly accepting Jesus is not accepting Him at all. Half-heartedly living for Him isn't really living for Him at all. He wants us to dive in to see how deep He is. He wants to teach us. He wants to be with us. He wants to be our Lord. You've heard that, right? Jesus is Lord. Lord means big master. Guy in charge. Master of the universe. It wasn't He-Man. Remember? It was Jesus. I had He-Man. But He wasn't the master of the universe. He was this big in plastic. Jesus is the master of the universe. And we can't surrender half-heartedly to Him and have Him think it's worship. That's not worship, is it? Maybe it's a show of religion, but it's not worship. In 2 Timothy, Paul, who wrote this book, tells Timothy of people who have a show of godliness, but they deny the power of godliness. They look religious, but they don't even have the Holy Spirit at all. They're not working with God. They're working against God. I want to encourage you to surrender to Him. Amen? Let God wants to work in you. Let Him. And let His message permeate you. And all the children said, Amen. Did you hear them in the back? Great kids. Jesus said this, Revelation 3:15, I know all the things that you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other, but since you are lukewarm, not hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Jesus said that when we do this half-surrender stuff, it's like picking up a cup of coffee that's just like, right? Cold water, good. Hot coffee, good, right? Lukewarm, right? Not so good. Just like you would spit it out, Jesus says, I'd spit it out. And that's how you are. I wasn't pointing at anybody in particular. I was just, okay. Woo! No. But let's be real with Him. Can we do that? And the truth is, when we do that honestly, we become alive. We become alive. It's a good thing. Trust me. It's rich. The message of Jesus will fill your life. So in regards to filling your life, the Message translation says this, let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Just let God go all over. Don't give Him half of your heart. Give Him the whole thing. Right? Give Him your marriage. Give Him your kids. Give Him your Sunday mornings and your Friday nights. Give Him your prayer and devotional time. Give Him your time at work. Give Him your drive in the car. Even to the point, and you might think this sounds weird, but give Him, if you're married, the marriage bed is the Lord's. We should serve Him in every area, shouldn't we? You might think this sounds weird, but Jesus is watching us all over. We need to give Him everything. Right? God created sex. It's a good thing in marriage. Just live for God. Just be open with God, right? God gave you the drive home from work. Let it be a time that's good, right? God gave you your best friends on a Friday night. Let your friends, even if they don't know Jesus, see that you do, right? Do that. Every area of your life. Surrender to Him. When you do that, man, you will come alive like you don't know. Few verses and we're moving on. Matthew 10, Jesus says this, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you love your son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of being mine. That's why I said in my life, I'm Christian, husband, dad. You see that? Don't go Christian, dad, husband. That's not right. Or don't go dad, husband, Christian, that's not right. We have to go, Jesus, my first love, Donna, my wife, Amber, my kid, or any other kids, should we ever get to use the nursery? Not anytime soon, but okay. Jesus says, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, get this, you'll say, but I don't want to let go. Jesus said, if you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. The thing you're looking for in life, it's in Jesus, right? We need to let go and let God, and we will find God is faithful and He is good and you will find life. You will find joy in the little things. You will find joy in your marriage, joy in your children, joy in the hard times, because Jesus is with you. Matthew 11 says this, Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens," and what? Do you know the rest? "I will give you rest." Anybody need rest? Anybody weary? Yeah. Jesus says, "Come to me." Anybody heavy burdened? Right? Anybody? Yeah. To be honest with you, a couple weeks ago, I was really burnt out. I was really just burned. And I'm pretty good with pressure, but I was just really just fried. To the point where I was just sitting at the table, and my wife even looked at me and said, "Are you okay?" Because I was just burnt. I know what that's like. But can I tell you something? Jesus is the one who will give us rest. And I made myself spend time with the Lord and get to a point where I realized the problem was my dependency came upon more on myself than it was on Jesus. I began to think, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to endure? And when I pulled back and spent time with the Lord, I remembered, wait, God is good. Jesus is good. He says, "Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." If you're carrying a heavy burden, you got the wrong burden. That's Jesus' burden. He says, "The burden I give you is light." Some of us are carrying our own burdens. Peter tells us to cast them before the Lord because He cares for us. Cast your burdens, lay them down at His feet. Sometimes we pick them back up. Give it to Jesus. Take His burden. His burden is light. And you will find rest for your souls. And to that I say, thank you, Lord. John 10:10. If you're still saying, "But I don't want to surrender, I still don't want to give up my life," Jesus said this in John 10:10. This is the Message version of that. He says, "A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy." Jesus is talking about the devil. The devil wants to steal from you. He wants to rob from you. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. We think we're playing around with the devil and we're having a good time. He's actually finding a way to slip the noose around your neck. That's what he's doing. But Jesus said, in contrast to that, if you're still thinking Jesus is just going to take your fun, He says this, "I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of." More and better than you can ever dream of. Other translations say life and life more abundantly. You don't know life unless you know He who is life. You don't know peace unless you know He who is the Prince of Peace, right? I pray that you will surrender to Him, that you would let the message of Christ and all of its richness fill your lives. Moving on, the next phrase in this verse, it says, "Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives." Because the message of Christ is filling your life, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. If you have an NIV, you see, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom." You might be saying this, "Good thing I'm not the teacher." Listen, this passage isn't about preaching the word. It's not about public proclamation. This passage, I know that God has chosen pastors to be primary proclamators of the Word. This passage is talking about if you've been changed by Christ, if you've allowed the richness of Christ to come in you, guess what? The natural result, if you're surrendered to Him, you've asked Him to forgive you, that it affects every area of your life. Did you hear that? Every area of your life. Your eyes will be open to the reality of mission of living for Jesus and sharing your faith. And this will come out both in your words and in your deeds. If you've surrendered to Christ, it'll show up in your words and in your deeds. Christ in your words. Ready? If you're sitting down having a cup of coffee with somebody, you're a Christian, you love God, you spent time with Him in prayer that day. Maybe in prayer you said, Lord, help me to just share the love of You with somebody today. And as you go out, you're sitting over a cup of coffee and your friend comes in and they say something like, you know, I'm just tired, I'm beat up. I feel like I'm all alone. I feel like nobody even understands me anymore. And I don't even know why I'm even still living, you know? Why? What would you share? What could you share? Anybody want to go? Take a stab. Beat up, tired, drained, no sense in living. Would you have any advice? You would. Right. What is one thing, Sheila, that you could share? If somebody's like hopeless. Okay. Right. Sure. All that you said, fantastic. And if it was you, maybe you would say things differently or draw out different stuff. What is that? That is teaching. Do you see that? That is teaching. You're having a cup of coffee. Your friend is down and out. You're teaching. You're sharing them. You're pointing to Jesus. Maybe you would say something like, God doesn't make junk. God can work in your situation. Maybe you'd share your story. Maybe if your story was your life was one way and you met Jesus and He's changed and He's given you hope and He's given you peace, maybe you would share that. But listen, when we're dwelling with Christ richly, it's going to come out in our words. You're going to be teaching and admonishing one another. You just are. I knew of a dad. When you're a youth pastor, it must be a special gift to not smack people. That I think maybe the Lord gave me. Because there's just times when you have teenagers. I love teenagers. But you're with them and when you hear the stuff that their parents say, just don't smack people. This one, I'm preaching my heart out. Live for God. One girl's 14 came to me and said her dad told her to go and have sex with as many people as she can because the world is a big ocean and you need to experience life before you ever settle down and get married. So you're not going to be happily married unless you have, you know, this extensive list of people you've had sex with. Okay, first of all, if you don't know, not married, here's the deal. If you do have any kind of a list of people you've had sex with, when you get married on your wedding night, you're bringing them all in the bedroom with you. You can be at the Poconos on your honeymoon. If you've each, you know, had sex with three people, you should be paying for eight in the room. Okay? And what I'm trying to say is you bring baggage. If your heart is pure, and you allow people to get into you and you're intimate like that, that God created for husband and wife, good thing for husband and wife, and you go out, it's just like letting somebody punch your heart or take a piece of your heart. And then when you're married on your wedding day, you want to give your spouse your heart and you're giving them something that's beaten and bruised and bloody and looks like it's been through a hamburger grinder and you're like, this is my heart. This is what I have. And your other spouse is broken too. And you're beginning your marriage broken and hurting. And it doesn't mean it's impossible, but it's not a good thing, right? And you have things you need to talk about. You have uncomfortable issues that you need to talk about. Because you both have history that you need to talk about. And you wonder, are they comparing me to the other people? You got all those kind of things, right? You just do, to be honest with you. And I'm sitting back thinking, Lord, I want to smack this guy. How could he be telling this girl that? Thank the Lord she was smart enough to know her dad was just crazy and don't listen to him. But listen, why do I say all that? He didn't love Jesus. He was teaching under the influence of the world, right? It was like a Howard Stern kind of influence. It wasn't Jesus at all. When you dwell in the richness of Christ, thank Jesus that you can begin to teach others, right? And it's godly things from the Word. Amen? You will. That's why this is important. Here's the deal. Your friends and family, they need good advice. They do. They're not getting it anywhere else. They're getting poison that people are saying is good medicine. It's poison. They're saying, you're not happy? You need to go have an affair on your wife. Your wife doesn't love you. That's what they get. Or your husband doesn't understand you. The guy at the water cooler does. Liar. Men never understand women. Don't fall for that. The guy at the water cooler don't know you either. Never going to get you. Right? Don't listen to that advice. But you as a Christian, you have the ability to teach. That is a good thing. That's why it's important for you to spend time with Jesus. As a dad, anybody here, you know everything as a dad? I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't have a clue. I'm making up as I go along. Yeah. That's our big secret. Many of you don't know either. But if we dwell in Christ, He teaches us, the Holy Spirit teaches us, and we can teach others. With your words that you share, you can teach others. How about with your deeds? Do we teach with our deeds? My dad used to say this, and I hated it. Maybe you've heard it. Well, yeah, we all hate stuff our dads tell us, and then we repeat it to our kids. I found myself telling Amber, you make a better door than you do a window when she's standing in front of the TV. Anybody? But how about this one? Ready? Maybe you've heard this. Do as I say, not as I do. That's just like pulling up a big sign that says, hypocrite! Right? How about this? When we tell our children that God is important, He's number one in our lives, and we take them to church Christmas and Easter, and we have to reintroduce them to everybody. Right? Church attendance should be important, should it not? How about when we say that God is number one and we don't give? Right? Financially, we don't tithe, we don't give. Our team member papers in the back, if you're not a team member, we're going to be voting on them real soon. You need to sign up. But we have this on our team member chart, and I think, to be honest, this is what we need to be in all areas of life. To be honest with you, for you to sign up to be a church team member, I honestly believe this is a step in your discipleship process. And here's what I have. You need to be faithful with your feet, that's your attendance, with your finances, faithful to the family, you don't talk about each other, faithful to the focus, the pastor's vision, faithful to our fellowship. We're part of the Assemblies of God. You need to be faithful. Faithfulness is important. Your kids and others are looking at you to see if you're faithful. We can say it with our mouth. If we're not faithful, they're not listening because we teach by what we do. The other thing is available. If you're not available for your children, you're just going to turn them off. If you're not available to serve at the church, not a good thing. Spiritual. Spirituality is important. To be honest, one of the things that I want to do more, my schedule's nuts, but I want to somehow find time that my daughter sees me kneeling in prayer more. Because I pray, but with my schedule, I don't really do it around her a lot. I read my Bible and stuff. She's just not really around. She's in school or she's in bed. And I want Amber to grow up remembering walking out, seeing Daddy reading the Bible and praying. I want her to realize that ministry isn't a job, it's real. I'm spiritual. And I want you to be spiritual too, not in the weird way, in the godly way, through the Word. Yeah. Teachable. We love Oprah. We want her to get saved, so we don't hate Oprah. Some of you are going to hate me because she's just visible. What are you going to do? There's a whole lot of other bad people. Listen, there's a bunch of pastors we could quote too who are bad people, so try not to do that. Teachable, right? You need to have a teachable heart. Moving on, and we're going to fly through the rest of this quicker. And all of you say amen. The last part of verse 16, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Real quick, can you tell me how to sing? Anybody? Step-by-step instruction of how to sing. What's the first thing you need to do if you're going to sing? Open your mouth. Good! What's the next thing? Let the words flow. What's that? Make a noise, right? I wrote in my notes, breathe and allow the air to go across the vocal cords, right? Okay. You make a noise, right? It involves volume. Good. When we sing psalms, hymns, or spiritual songs to the Lord, you can hear it. Don't be afraid to vocalize your praise to God. Too many of us, in our praise, we're like, okay? And don't say, well, I can't sing. You haven't heard me sing. If you don't know, our church is full of people that can't sing. Join right in. You're not going to hurt anything. Let it come out. It's okay. And thank the Lord. The Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord. Listen, music touches the soul, doesn't it? It has a way of touching your soul. Interesting that Lucifer, the devil, before he fell from heaven, he was in charge of what? Music. He was the worship leader in heaven. Because worship was so strong, he was able to convince a third of the angels to fall with him, which we would now know as demons. But God created music, so music isn't evil, okay? But music impacts us in ways that you don't know. Let's use the gift of music to glorify God, right? Let's allow the music of heaven to fill our room and fill our lives. Put good Christian stuff on in your car. Listen to good Christian music, worship songs, and it will uplift you. Take the Def Leppard out of your tape deck and put in some worship songs, and you will draw closer to the Lord. Let's stand and worship Him. Hallelujah, Jesus, I pray right now for our church, God. In Your name, Jesus, I pray, Lord, God, that You would pour out Your blessing, the blessing of the Holy Spirit, God. I pray that You would begin to fill us, Lord. Fill us to overflowing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we declare today, God, that we are a church that is hungry for You. Lord, we declare today that we love You, number one in our lives, Lord. And we don't want to walk into this thing a little bit. God, we want to dive into Your presence. We want our spouse to know. We want our kids to know. We want our grandchildren to know that Jesus Christ is not just King of Kings in the world, but You're King of Kings in our church, and You're King of Kings within our own heart, God. We worship You. We worship You, Jesus. We give You praise, Lord. We desire Your presence, Jesus. We desire You, God. Oh, Jesus, we love You. We love You, Lord. Let's lift up our voice in here today before we go. Hallelujah. We're leaving in 2 minutes. Let's give Jesus 2 minutes of praise today. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love You, God. We love You, Lord. We give You praise, oh God. We give You glory, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't be afraid to cry out to Him today. Hallelujah, Jesus. We sing psalms of praise to You, God. We sing out to You a new song today, Jesus. Have Your way, O Lord. Have Your way, O God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray as we go, God, that You would give us more of a hunger for Your Word. Lord, that we won't be people who make who just point to a verse and not know what we're talking about and give up. But God, I pray that we would be people of Your Word this week. Help us, Lord Jesus, to learn about You, to live for You. We pray
in your holy name, in your holy name. God, I pray for the offering as we're about to receive it as well, that you would bless it, multiply it, use it for your glory, and we'll give you all the praise. Bless us, Lord, as we go. Bless our holidays, I pray, for Thanksgiving and for those of us who Thanksgiving is just a difficult time. Lord, I pray that you would bless them and help, God. Be with them, we pray. And we love you. And we cry out to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.